It's been a long time for speaking here, isn't it? 4 years ago. 4 years, yeah. I want to say thank you very much for having me today as a speaker. I want to say I'm very grateful for being one of Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, for having me as a member and as a brother. You included me, you rescued my life. You built a new life for me and for my family. By your prayers, your support, and your support is continually, is not stopping. By praying, by asking, by texts, by emails, by inviting me for a meal or a smile or rubbing my shoulder, this is a lot, meant a lot for me. If I want to say, I cannot have any word that will be enough to say thank you for you. So thank you very much for everything you have done for me and for my family. Actually, I plan to have my family recorded a video for you guys to say happy Thanksgiving for you. But unfortunately, my wife was sick. So they weren't able to do this. And especially now, Lena and Carol able to speak English. So they can say it in proper English, American English, not the British English, proper American English. Don't misunderstand me, Ruth, okay? So let's go to the point. I know Fred told me to take 1 hour, but I will be gracious and take only 1 half hour, okay? So to be grateful, this is a very big issue. It is not easy at all for human nature to be thankful and grateful. Why? Because this will express two things. Sometimes express your weakness. Sometimes express your how much power you have, how much strength you have. To say thank you, you break your pride, your selfishness. So you have the power to break this selfishness, to say thank you. And sometimes to say thank you, you have this strength to be under self-control and to say thank you. Thank you can open wide doors for you. Thank you can do magic with anyone else. If you see your mom, your dad, for the kids, didn't want from you anything except the word thank you. But at the end of the day, when the mom make good meal for you, when you say, thank you, mom, for this meal, we'll hug you and say, this is my pleasure. I will do this from my heart. And the dad as well, when he works very hard and brings something for you, you will say, thank you, dad, with big smile and big hug for you as well. I want to go to the Bible right away. I don't want to tell stories. So there's hundreds of persons in the Bible. They were grateful, and they show this gratefulness in their lives. But I picked only three pictures from the Bible. And I said, this is a picture of Thanksgiving. And the first picture I will pick from Luke 17. Luke 17, number 1. You can read whatever you want to read, but I want to just go to the Luke 17, number 11, or verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 laborers who stood at distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his feet, face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. My notes about this. This person represents every one of us. We were foreigners. If you were Jewish, it's okay. But most of us, we were foreigners, Gentiles. And we have the same disease, which is the sin. The leprosy in the Bible represents the sin as a symbol. So this is an amazing story, represents every one of us before knowing Jesus Christ and accepting him as our Savior and became true Christian in our life. The amazing thing, this guy is a Samaritan. He has this disease, leprosy. And he's sitting in distance with 9 people. And the 9 people were Jew. When you have this status, no difference between you. If you are a Gentile or a Jew. We didn't see this conversation between this guy and the 9 guys about who are you. I'm a Jew, and you are a Gentile, or you are a Samaritan. You are a fake Jew. You didn't have to sit down with me, as the woman told Jesus Christ in John 3. She argued with him about who should have the upper hand for the right place to worship God. So this guy, he know he's a Samaritan. He know he's has this disease, which none be healed at all except by a miracle. He is the only guy. When he healed, he recognized that he owes something for this healing person. And this thing is thank you. And thank you not just by saying it, thank you, but he did it in behavior. We know very well what's called body language. So when I smile in your face toward you like this, it means I have more coming to you. I wanted to say, yes, I love you very much. If I smile on your face with my hands like this, so yeah, it's kind of fake smile or fake welcome. But this person went to Jesus Christ directly on his face, thanking Jesus Christ for what he done. His attitude first to thank Jesus. His attitude is gratefulness. It's not selfishness. He didn't go first to see the priests to get granted for his healing. No. The first thing he did, no, it's not me. It's the person who gave me this healing. He was focused very much where he should go first. He knew very well who deserved the first thing after changing his status. He didn't think in his family. He didn't think in his relatives or friends or anything else. But he thought only in Jesus Christ. This man, or Jesus Christ, who deserves his worship and deserve his gratitude and deserve his life. And this is what happened with this guy. This is a foreigner. This represents every one of us. This is the first story. The second story, in Luke 7, verse 36, which is the sinful woman. One of the Pharisees, his name is Simon, verse 36, asked Jesus Christ to come to his home and to eat. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering this to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender, anyway, if you continue reading until 48, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? And he said to the women, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The couple points about this, Simon, who invited Jesus Christ. Simon is a Pharisee. Pharisee, this is people who have this self-proud, or proud in the, what's called, how we say it in English, uh, in Arabic it's called birrazati, which mean righteousness, self-righteousness. They feel they are upper level from all people. They feel like have the teachings of the Bible, of the Old Testament. They know very well the Old Testament. They know all the Word of God. They can explain it very well. So they put themselves in another level than the other people. So they have this mindset. And I think this guy invited Jesus Christ to test him, not just to invite him and welcome him and learn from him, but this is kind of a test for Jesus about his teachings, about his life. But anyway, this guy invites Jesus with different intentions in his heart. And if this Simon Pharisee, this the Pharisee Simon, invited Jesus Christ to his home with a generous heart, an open heart, and in his intention to honor Jesus, he has to do what the host to do for the guest. But nothing of these steps done for Jesus Christ. One of this, to wash his feet. One of this, to wipe his feet or clean him. To honor the guest by kissing. To honor the guest by spray any perfume on him or cologne. Nothing of this happened to Jesus Christ from Simon. But who did this for Jesus? The sinful women. And this is a kind of something like a paradox. Who invited Jesus? Simon. Who has to do everything for Jesus as a guest? Simon. But who did the right thing? Not Simon, but the women in the house of Simon. I wanted to explain more. As if this invitation, it is not by Simon, this invitation, as if by the lady. Because the lady or this sinful woman did everything the host has to do for the guest. So her behavior is a very brave behavior. It's not a usual lady. It is not an average lady. Because she challenged everything in her way to reach Jesus Christ. She is a woman, and according to the Jewish traditions, woman is the second degree. It's not the first degree. And the Jewish people used to pray, thanks God, because they are not born as a Gentile, or they are not born as a, especially for the men, they are not born as women. So this woman broke every tradition in this story. And she went to, I wanted to, the castle of this guy in the higher level of the society. She went to this higher level of the society to show this guy is just big mouth, but doesn't have any kind of a practical life for what he teach in the synagogue or any place. This is the thing. But the other thing, this lady brave because she wanted to get salvation from the right person. She challenged everything. She faced everything. And she know where the point And she went to the same the point where Jesus Christ were. She went to Jesus. And she done four things for him. She wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. She honored him by kissing his feet. She honored him by using the precious ointment, and she anointed his feet. This will remember us with the verse in Philippians 3:8, when Paul said, "I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." For women, here is her glory. She wanted to say, "My glory under your feet. You are my Lord, and you deserve my glory. You deserve my life." This is the second story. The third story, and personally I love this one. I'm done. I'm done? How many left for me? 30 minutes? No? Okay. So this is the last one when in John 12. This is the very, very well-known story about John 12, verse 1 until 4. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to the Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. We have three persons. The third picture to reflect the gratitude for Jesus. This is the third picture. First picture for a leper who is not from the Jew. The second for a sinful woman from the Jew. The third is a family, a Jewish family. They know Jesus Christ very well. And they hosted Jesus Christ before. And they have the fellowship with him. But this is different. The first time we saw Martha like complaining, but this time Martha serving only without any complaining. The last time we saw Lazarus, we didn't see Lazarus in the picture at all. The first time when Jesus met Martha and Mary. But this time Lazarus as an image for the family in the same table with Jesus Christ, welcoming Jesus with open heart for eating. Martha, personally, I will give her this, the unsung soldier. Because every time Jesus went to this home, Martha, she was the leader in behind the scene. She opened the house for Jesus. She welcomed Jesus, okay, and she made and served him food and for her disciples in the two occasions. So Martha in the first time was complaining, but in this time serving, cooking, preparing, leading behind the scene, in passion, in love, and in gratitude to give Jesus everything to make him happy in this house. No complaining anymore about Mary, because the idea in her mind, the picture in her mind, not Mary this time, the picture in her mind, Jesus. The picture in her mind, Jesus, how to honor him, how to serve him with a full heart, how to prepare the very good thing for him, not the very the top thing for him. This is Martha. Mary always, as usual, as expected, and the first time she's listening at his feet. This time she exceeds the expectation. It's not only listening, but she did more than this. She wanted to honor him more. She wanted to say, I have the nard perfume or nard cologne or nard ointment. This is for me, for my wedding. But I will give this to you. Not only this, but I will give my glory under your feet. It is very, very, very beautiful family. Very beautiful. When Jesus in the house or in the home, especially in the leadership of the home, the parents, they can lead the children to the Lord very easily by behavior, by rule modeling, to be a rule modeling in home. You reflect the Christian picture to the kids very easily when you behave from the full grateful heart to Jesus Christ. I'm done. But I wanted to say we were like this person, the liber, because we are Gentile. And if you have a background, Jewish, Jew, you like the sinful women. And if you are a Christian, you have the Christian background, you accept Jesus Christ, you like the beautiful family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Every one of these has a story. Every one of these has a reason to say thank you for the Lord. One of the most important beloved songs I love very much. Song, When I Survey Your Wondrous Cross. And in Hebrew 11:26, Moses, this Greek guy, he considered the reproach of Christ. In my language, it's the shame of Christ, if I wanted to translate from my language. He considered the reproach of Christ, or the shame of Christ, greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. So let's say thank you for the cross. Let's say thank you for this Savior, this who saved us, saved our life, and opened our hearts and eyes to the future and to eternal life.